Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we are so thankful that you have joined us this evening. Tonight, we're going to begin a series of messages that will lead us up to the celebration of Easter. It's hard to believe, but Easter's almost upon us. And friends, have you ever given thought to the question, is it possible to really understand Easter apart from the main characters, those whose lives played a vital role in God's will, in God's plan for our redemption story? And so the implication of their lives and those lives surrounding Christ and the lessons that they teach, they are vital to our own lives. And I believe that to fail to spend time examining them and the choices that they had made would be a disservice to our own spiritual understanding and walk with Jesus Christ. Now tonight we're going to be looking at the life of the great betrayer, Judas Iscariot himself. And if you have a Bible handy, I would invite you to turn to the 109th Psalm, Psalm 109, and be finding verse 6. The word of our Lord says to us in Psalm 109:6, "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy, neither let there be any favor to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul." Well, this psalm is an imprecatory psalm because we find the psalmist calling for God to be swift in judging the evil, judging the wicked. And now you'll no doubt have gleaned that from the tenor of this psalm, the words the psalmist used as I was reading them are not for the faint of heart. And so two questions ought to come to our minds. What is the psalmist speaking about, and who is the psalmist speaking about? Two things to note as we begin. The Gospels teach us that Jesus prayed. The Psalms teach us what Jesus prayed. And the psalmist is speaking here about those who pretend to be something they are not. And the psalmist is prophesying in particular about the great betrayer of God's only begotten son, Judas Iscariot. Family and friends, Judas Iscariot is remembered in the Bible as the man who kissed the door of heaven, and then he died and went to hell. He is the Word of God's prime example of someone who pretends to be something they are not. Sad to say, and sometimes it is hard to believe that among people there are those who pretend, even today, to be something that they are not. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, as we study your word tonight, Lord, would you make it clearly evident to us who we are, that we might be all that you would have us to be, that we might be real with you, because, Lord, for certain, a day will come when you will absolutely be real with us. You will show us for the person that we really are. Father God, as we come to you tonight, may your word speak to our hearts in great power. And Lord, may you reveal our hearts before us that we might know ourselves. May we pray as David prayed, search us, O God, and know our heart. See if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, that our end would not be the end of Judas Iscariot. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus said, there will be those who will come to you, and they will be wolves in sheep's clothing. Judas Iscariot was one of those wolves. The words God uses here in this psalm describe for us the life of Judas Iscariot and his end. The words of the psalmist are strong words, and they call down a curse upon the wicked. And God has placed these words in his word to warn us of the eternal consequences and danger that accompany practicing a life of deception. Have you ever wondered how Judas could walk with the Lord for 3.5 years and completely miss it? What was it that prevented Judas Iscariot from finding salvation in God's only begotten Son? After all, Judas was present every time the Lord Jesus Christ preached. He was present when the Lord Jesus Christ preached these words that are found in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Judas was there. He was one of those who cried out, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? Did I not do that? He heard the word preached just like a lot of people today, and yet it never found a home in his heart. Why didn't the message have an effect on Judas' heart? And why is the tragedy of Judas Iscariot being repeated continually in many churches today? For the answer, we must remember our Lord's teaching on the wheat and the tares. Oh, I'm excited tonight. Jesus taught that wheat is the indicative of those who are truly saved, and the tares represent those like Judas Iscariot who are nothing more than pretenders to the throne. Will you allow me to submit for your thinking tonight that Jesus Christ paid too high a price on the cross of Calvary for any of us to shun the message of his word? Like Judas Iscariot, we've been given the opportunity to examine our hearts in the light of God's holy word. We can make certain tonight that we have genuinely repented of our sin. We can make certain that we can rest assured that we'll be present with the Lord Jesus Christ when we breathe our last breath. We can make certain tonight that we do not end up like Judas Iscariot. We will not have to face the terror that Judas Iscariot faces when at last he discovered how stone cold dead his heart really was. You see, the very fact that you're listening tonight means for you it is not too late. The life of Judas Iscariot is a call to all to be certain, to be absolutely certain that you have repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't base your salvation on some baptismal experience or some prayer that you prayed in the past or that your name is on some church membership roll while you continue to live just as sinfully as if Jesus never came, never died on Calvary's cross from the grave. treading under the soles of your sinful feet the very grace of God. You see, the Bible teaches, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things are become new. Are you living like that new creature today? Does the fruit of your life give a faithful testimony that you are a blood-bought saint of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is this so important? Because time is running out. Every Easter means we are one step closer to the return of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Soon the trump will sound, the shout will come, and all the genuine saints will just fly away. The church will be raptured. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And we will be present with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever. Friend, will you be there? Judas Iscariot thought he would. He was with Jesus. And if you allow Judas being with Jesus to mean he was in church, every time the Lord preached a sermon, Judas was in the building. He was hearing the word of God. Yet the word of God found no home in his hardened heart. And tonight, every one of you who are tuned in ought to be praying that the Lord God would show you the condition of your heart. God forbid that anyone would listen to this ministry week after week and not be drawing nearer to the Savior. God forbid that anyone would be like Judas Iscariot. God forbid that anyone would not desire to walk just a little bit closer with Jesus Christ. God forbid that anyone would not want to live so as to please their Lord. God forbid. If what God has done for us by giving us his own Son as the price of our redemption doesn't encourage us to act like Jesus and extend that same kind of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness to our neighbors. God forbid. You see, Judas Iscariot came to church, and Jesus preached about what was going on in Judas's heart, and it made no difference. Judas said, I'm one of the disciples. Judas said, I keep the purse. Judas said, when kingdom time comes, I'll be there. After all, look at what I do. Never once did Judas realize his sinful, selfish soul would lead him to betray the ever-loving Son of God. But you see, that's what sin does to us. It doesn't seem too bad at first, does it? But little by little, it leads us just a little bit farther into greater depravity, and then greater depravity. And then all of a sudden, we're living a life of depravity. Until one day, we wake up and discover that we have betrayed the very Son of God given to save us. But for the grace of God, friend, every single one of us, myself included, in this human flesh, we're all capable of acting like Judas Iscariot did on two counts. When we fail to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. Judas Iscariot had no compassion for them. Judas Iscariot refused to extend to others the grace, mercy, and compassion that Jesus Christ had for him. And sadly, there are a host of people in this world today who act more like Judas Iscariot, pretenders who give lip service to God, but they've just never given their heart to God. Don't be one of them. Like Judas, you see, they go to church, but they just won't allow God's word to find a home in their heart. Simply because they're more in love with themselves, they're more in love with what they got on their plate, they're more in love with their own will than they are with God and God's will for their lives. That's what happened to Judas. And don't think for a moment we're immune to that kind of sin and depravity. I'm convinced that's why God had his prophet Jeremiah write these words. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God wants us to know what our human heart is like so that we would know the problem Judas had is the same one we have. You see, we don't know our own hearts. If you've ever wondered why God commands us time and again in His Word to examine our hearts, that's why, that we might gain in wisdom. God wants us to examine our hearts, not for His benefit, but for our own. God wants us to be certain that we are in the faith so that we do not end up like Judas Iscariot, professing ourselves to be something that we are not. If only Judas Iscariot would have done that, things may have turned out differently for him, but he didn't because he wouldn't hear of it. Pride had so gripped his soul that Judas would not humble himself to the word of the Lord. He heard every sermon Jesus preached and never came to salvation simply because he had a hard heart. Have you ever wondered about this? How does the heart become so hard? A heart becomes hard because it is controlled by a closed mind. And note the connection, a closed mind leads to deaf ears. This man did not have an ear to hear. No wonder the word never found a home in his heart. Can God's word find a home in your heart? So hard was Judas's heart that he never heard the Lord speak of his coming crucifixion. You see, his mind was on how much he could steal when Jesus set up his earthly kingdom, how rich he would become. That's what he was daydreaming about all the while he sat in church while Jesus was preaching about going to the cross. Judas Iscariot's problem was that he coveted money more than he cared for the Son of God. He thought that more important than the free gift of salvation Jesus was preaching about. No wonder when he discovered Jesus wasn't going to establish his earthly kingdom anytime soon, Judas Iscariot was not about to allow Jesus to ruin his plans. And the turning point for Judas came when the alabaster box of perfume was poured out upon Jesus by Mary. It was then that Judas arranged to sell his soul to the devil for 30 pieces of silver. I don't think for a moment that any of us are incapable of such sin. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." But for His grace, we are all capable of such a sin as betrayal. And we need to understand that. But for the grace of God. Yet God loves us so much. He wants us to know the dangers of getting off course in the least little bit. It's why His word encourages us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, let's answer this question. Did Jesus love Judas? You better believe He did. Jesus loved Judas enough to give him a complete revelation of His word and His work. Jesus loved Judas enough to give him many warnings in the messages he preached. Jesus loved Judas enough to humbly bow and wash the betrayer's feet when he washed the other disciples' feet. Jesus loved Judas enough to warn him to check his heart by saying, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Judas knew who Jesus was speaking to, just as we know when Jesus is speaking to us, when His spirit of correction grabs hold of our heart. Jesus loved Judas enough to tell him the truth about heaven and hell. And yet all that wonderful love fell on a hard heart. Understand this. Jesus loves you enough. That's why he has preachers like me preaching the word of truth to you. Because he loves you. And he does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved. It wasn't for lack of God's love that Judas refused to accept God's free gift of grace. Because the Gospels record Jesus' amazing mercy towards Judas. It wasn't for lack of God's love, of mercy, or grace that Judas died and went to hell. No one can ever say God didn't give Judas an opportunity to repent and be saved, and you'll not be able to say it either because you've heard this message tonight. Instead, he chose to betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. He simply chose to do what so many choose to do tonight. Ignore the warnings that God has placed. Ignore preachers like me. Ignore the Word of God. Ignore the cross of Christ. Judas sat at the feet of the greatest preacher who ever lived. And he refused to repent. And he refused to get straight with God. That's how we arrive at that fateful night when Judas Iscariot came to the garden to kiss the door of heaven. And then he went out and he died and he went straight to hell. Know this. God loves us so much that he cannot bear the thought of any of us dying and going to hell. But he will not force his grace upon any of us. He will not force his mercy on any of us. He will not force his love upon any of us. You see, the cross simply stands as a reminder to us that it is our choice to receive the love of God by repenting of our sin and putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ours to choose whether or not we will allow God's word and his grace to find rest, to find a home in our heart. But know this. You and I are responsible for the choice we make. If we'll receive God's word, if we'll accept his grace, if we'll accept the cross of Jesus Christ, if we'll accept his blood to wash us of our sins, we'll have a home in heaven with him. If not, we can sit in church every week. But if we will not allow God's word to find a home in our heart, we're living the life of a pretender. We're living the life of a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. It's time to get real with God. And now, may the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ rest and abide upon us all, both now and forevermore. Amen and amen.